Welcome to the Professional Services Pursuit, a podcast featuring expert advice and insights on the professional services industry. I'm Brent Trimble, your host again, and today I'm joined by Brad Kane. Brad is the president of Kane Consulting and provides advisory and coaching services to technology-focused leaders in their organizations. Today, we're going to be chatting about some of the tools and frameworks leaders of those organizations can use to tackle the core challenges that their teams may be facing right now from a technology and management perspective. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brent. It's so great to be here.
Great. So before we kick off, it'd be great to share with the listeners a bit about yourself, your trajectory, your background, and what led you to Kane Consulting.
Be happy to. I have spent my entire career, some 30-odd years, in the professional services industry. Most of that time, I was in and around the field of software engineering and working on products and in large IT organizations. I spent some time as an independent contractor. I spent some time in a boutique practice, and I ran a region of that practice for quite a number of years. And I also got to experience life in a large multinational practice. Between those three, I got a lot of feel and flavor for those kinds of software engineering practices and the kinds of work that they do and the kinds of challenges that people run into running those kinds of practices. Now I focus on management consulting, and unsurprisingly, a lot of my clients are in professional services themselves and are looking to grow their businesses or develop their business to be more valuable for sale or to, in some cases, manage the changes that we're running into in the economy today.
That's excellent. And what kind of impetus brought you to found your consulting practice? What kind of need did you see in the market that you thought was where you could provide value to these leaders?
As I was doing a lot of delivery work, I noticed that a lot of my clients were interested in not just technical expertise, but were having challenges running their departments or running their engagements. I would work with people from other practices, and they were struggling with the same kinds of issues that I was struggling with when I ran a practice. And more it became evident that my skill set had evolved beyond just software engineering and running engineering organizations into leading organizations and helping to develop leaders. And so I pivoted the kinds of delivery that I do and the kinds of clients that I pursue away from technically focused engagements toward really management and leadership development engagements.
No, that's fantastic. That leads us to, I think, a relevant topic today. One doesn't need to dive very deep into the current news cycle and content in both the business press and the general press to see this sort of notion of uncertainty and bumpy economic cycle. And of course, we're coming right out of one, the pandemic business cycle, but that was largely manufactured to the degree that governments shut down large portions of the GDP and replaced that for a certain time, and then work kind of resumed in some cases at a really high level, high ebb. But this down cycle is a function of maybe some economic conditions, right? The Fed tightening, credit tightening, the end of easy money in the tech sector, for instance, and technology not being as sure of a bet. Of course it is, I think, in the abstract, but I mean, we're talking about investment and return and so forth. And this is now trickling down into these companies and practices. And what we find interesting is there's now this fairly large contingent of folks ascending into management or have arrived at management, but they really haven't been through and managed a really, really tough macroeconomic cycle. I'm interested to hear, and I think, you know, listeners would really be keen in this, is how are these employees and workers that have ascended into management, maybe similar to you, maybe came from engineering, emerged as leaders, they're in this mid, you know, high earning stage of their career, and they're experiencing a downturn for the first time. Give us some insight on what you're seeing in the market.
I'm working with a client that is right in the middle of the situation that you're describing. They are about a 12-year-old organization. They grew from two partners who had been gradually, organically growing their business. During the long stretch of fairly easy money, where really if you could develop delivery talent, it was very, very easy to sell engineering professional service because there was such a shortfall of talent. If you could dial a phone and get talent, the dialing was really the main skill that you needed to do sales. And the kinds of clients that they had gone after really were deeply affected by the recent downturn. So advertising dollars dried up a lot, and startups dried up a lot, and those were the kinds of clients that they had become accustomed to serving, and their pipeline started to dry up, as you can imagine. They were really in a difficult situation, and I engaged with the leaders in this organization to help them diagnose and remediate the problem. They kind of had some idea of where it had been coming from, but they were really stuck with the what do we do about it? And I think to your point, they just hadn't been in a 2008 situation because they were in college at the time. And this is my third or fourth one of these downturns between the 80s and the sort of 80s malaise and the dot-com bust and the financial system collapse. The message that I gave to them when we initially met was, look, you just haven't seen this before, so you don't know how to react. We worked with them and had a lot of conversations with them and the owners and their leaders, and we put in place a system for doing some new business development activities, market discovery, understanding the downstream impact that that was going to have on their delivery personnel, needing to upskill to some different skills, changes in personnel that they were going to need. I made that sound really simple, like, oh, you just change who you're going to sell to and the kinds of technologies you're going to deliver. But the people in their organization felt really threatened by some of these changes, especially when there was some downsizing that they had to do in order to keep the company afloat. And everybody kind of wanted to revert to the old way. Can't we just go back to selling to, you know, e-commerce sites and marketing? Helping them come to terms with the fact that that wasn't going to work anymore got escalated gradually to the organization. What the owner actually came to me with was, you know, we know that the options that we've come up with for our organization are the thing for us to do. The challenge is that each one of those solutions is creating a bunch of new problems for us. So our salespeople are struggling with learning a more consultative kind of selling approach. Engineers were really happy doing some of the work that they were doing before, and they're not as excited about the kinds of delivery that they're being tasked with now. And isn't that the kind of the problem with consultants in a nutshell? We come up with solutions and we don't help you with the problems that your solution creates. And I've always prided myself on not being one of those consultants who just kind of writes the play on the whiteboard and, you know, you get a touchdown at the end. My practice is built around engaging with leaders to help them develop the skills to help their people through these challenges that change inevitably brings, helping them understand the pressures that they're under and how to cope with that, as well as helping their people understand the pressures that that's putting them under. Instead of just pushing the problem down into the org chart, we help leaders manage their own emotions and the pressures that they're under and how they respond, as well as the challenges that their people are facing. One of the skills that we do talk about in that frame, we call the four R's, and we can talk a little bit more about that later.
The scenario you're describing, we're seeing play out across the businesses. I mean, you note an e-commerce platform that's probably driven by demand-based media and those dollars drying up, and maybe some consumer demand, the clicks drying up. So giving a mature, reframing, cerebral approach to the business, saying, you know, you've built these practices, you've built this expertise, now it's time to pivot a bit. This is what it means to you and the business and the people, and we're going to help you navigate through that resistance. So you gave the example of the e-com shop that's grown organically, probably through some reputation and expertise. Any other that might be, you think, relevant to our listeners?
You know, another organization that was a little bit similar, a little bit different outcome was a group that I was working with where one of the partners that had founded the organization decided that he was ready to move on and to do other things mm-hmm. and wanted his partner to buy him out. And the partner that was leaving had done, this is a very small shop, but they had done all of the business development, all of the sales and client management activities. And the other partner was an electrical engineer by trade, was focused on running the delivery personnel. And all of a sudden, he's left running the entire organization without some of those core skills. And he was in a really, really uncomfortable position. As a coach and as an advisor to that organization, we're put in a position with not just helping them understand, you know, these are the tasks that you have to do, but also this is how you think about business development when your whole life has been focused around engineering. This is how you deal with the feelings that anybody who's been in sales for any length of time had to start dealing with in their early 20s, feeling rejected, feeling disappointed, a lot of the emotions that come that way when being smart isn't the solution to your problems. You can't think your way out of a lost deal. You have to come to terms with it and accept that that's a part of the game. So helping him to develop skills that were not just the technical skills of running the business and managing client relationships and understanding that work, but to deal with the emotional roller coaster that he found himself on, all of a sudden doing something that he was really bad at first, because we're all really bad at new things at first.
So you mentioned some frameworks that you've been using to help articulate this change and then drive this type of change. And you mentioned one of them before we talked through the second example. If you could give us a breakdown of that, maybe at a high level.
Whenever we find ourselves in a difficult position, we have to come to terms with our default behaviors oftentimes are not the ones that are going to serve us the best. For example, if you've been accustomed to selling and delivering to a particular kind of client, those are the kinds of clients to continue to reach out to and try to sell to, because we all kind of like doing things the same way consistently. And when you're confronted with the fact that that just isn't going to work anymore, mm-hmm. you usually have a pretty big stress response to that situation. And a tool that we use to try to help people to deal with that, and we train leaders on this and we train them to help their people with these same skills, is called the 4 R's. It's to recognize that you're having a big stress response to this situation, because oftentimes we just find ourselves being a little bit irritable, a little short, hard to get around or get along with, difficult to be around, and we want to recognize what it is that we're experiencing and really make that front and center in our thinking, as opposed to just kind of being cranky, or avoidance is another strategy that sometimes people have. Just start to recognize, hey, I'm not doing a thing that I should be doing, or I'm not doing it the way I'd like to be doing it. The second R is to reflect, is to look at that and to say, well, why am I behaving the way that I am? And this is absolutely different for absolutely everybody. All of us do what we do because we did what we did. And what we did is different for me than it is for you, Brent, in a given situation. I've got my own background and story, and you have yours. And as squishy and touchy-feely as this sounds, try to remember, I spent 30 years in software engineering. This was not an easy hill for me to climb, to come to terms with. But reflecting on why it is that I'm behaving this way is a really important to do to overcome the behavior that you're trying to change. The next R is to reframe the problem, is to stop thinking about it the way that you have been. If you've been telling yourself, I'm not good at doing consultative selling, that's probably not really true, at least not in the way that you're thinking it is. You might not be good at it today or as good as you'd like to be at it, but it's a new skill. And so thinking about it as, I'm getting better at consultative selling is a lot more productive than saying to yourself, I'm really bad at selling. Because if you think you're bad at it, you probably will be, and you're going to try to avoid it as much as you can. And you'll try to kick up to leader, hey, this stuff just doesn't work. You know, you'll come up with excuses to not change. Reframing that is, again, the next really important thing to do. And then the fourth R is, once you've done the first three, then you have a chance to respond. That's when you can be really effective in what it is that you're going to do. So, am I going to lean into this and write an after action review and review it with people? Am I going to work with an outside expert or somebody with a little bit more experience in this? What are the things that I can do to handle this difficult, stressful situation? Again, these are coming up all the time in consulting and professional services right now, because in a lot of ways, we're right at the bleeding edge of these economic changes. They tend to hit us first.
I noticed in the recognize R, certainly the avoidance strategy is employed very well by my children whenever I ask them to do something. Procrastination and avoidance is really significant. But I'm struck that the recognize, reflect, reframe can be deployed on a lot of different scenarios. And in our business, in the industry, we tend to distill sometimes major strategic decisions, certainly operational, down to really technical choices, feature functionality, the things we need to do to be more technically successful. Pull the levers in professional services on chargeability, utilization, margin, deal flow. But it sounds like what you're helping to do is contour these emotive responses and get to the heart of the matter, where the solution might be just part of that managerial acumen and their emotive response to different types of conditions. How has it been working? You know, navigating, you know, some of the scenarios you've outlined, a couple different shops, one with disparate talent in a different alignment and focus, another in a business that they might have to pivot away from, at least in the short term. How do these work, these framework deployments?
They work quite well. It's not as quick as pulling a lever. What we're talking about here is modifying human behavior at the end of it all. As leaders, we're in a position where when it comes to human behavior, we really have two choices. We either change people or we change people, if you know what I mean. One of those is fast and expensive, which is it's relatively quick for me to bring someone new into the organization compared to helping to build some leadership skills and self-awareness into the people that I have. But what we found is that those investments in people in leadership development really pay off for the organization over the long haul, because the person that you bring in might not have a problem with consultative sales, just to continue with that analogy. They will have another set of challenges that they have to face, that you're going to be put into a position working with them. That's the role of leadership. If it was as easy as, oh, I pull this lever and I get different utilization, we wouldn't need leaders to have supervisors. But the truth is, we're dealing with people that are complex and bring a lot of themselves into an organization. And as leaders, we have to help them grow into where they want to be if we want them to stay around and to really help drive the growth in our organizations.
No, that's excellent. That's good point. Strategic patience. So Brad, these have been really great insights, and we're in kind of a choppy period. Everyone is looking to double down on key business levers. If you're in professional services, which makes up our business and our focus, and certainly that of our listeners, it's all around, can I find and launch another practice that's adjacent? Can I look to reposition? Certainly all the operational maturity metrics like chargeability and deal flow, margin, doubling down on cost management. But your framework really helps cut through that a bit and add that behavioral dimension to things and just help make leaders all that more effective. So as we close out today, it'd be great if you wanted to just recast the four R's and then let our listenership know where they can find those and you.
I'd be happy to. The 4Rs, again, is just one of the tools that we use with helping people deal with the stresses that they feel when they're undergoing change. And like you said, every single one of those levers that you get to pull as a leader is a change that's inflicted upon somebody else, and they're going to have a stress response to that situation. So helping people to recognize the stress that they're experiencing, what do they feel? How can they best describe the pressure that they're feeling, or the maybe it's disappointment, or maybe it's something else for another person in another situation, but recognize it for what it is. Label it as effectively as you can. Reflect on it. Why do I feel the way that I do? Why do I feel pressured or maybe unfairly put upon or frustrated or disappointed? Why is it that I'm feeling that way? What's contributing to this? Has this happened to me in the past? Is this completely out of the blue and unexpected to me? Like, where did that emotion come from? Then take some time, and this is something that you can work with your leader on, to reframe the situation. How can I best think about this in a way that'll allow me to do whatever it is that I need to do next? Whether that's moving from my favorite technical tool that I really enjoyed working on into something that is a little more legacy, but that's what's paying the bills these days, whether it's learning how to sell differently or doing delivery in a different way. Whatever that is, try to think of a positive way to think about it that's going to make it easier for you to manage that stress response that you're under. That'll help you with the fourth R, which is responding. Finally, doing the thing that you know that you should do that you might have been, again, avoiding or feeling upset about or whatever it was that was there. So the 4Rs are one of the many tools that an effective advisor and coach uses to help people to deal with the changes that they're going to go through in an organization. And right now, we're in one of those periods, like you said earlier, Brent, where change is coming to us. It's going to be forced upon us. Other times are when we have an opportunity for growth. Lots of organizations get stuck then. This is one of those times where maybe it's not as fun of a change right now, but it's a real opportunity for individuals to learn how to grow into a new role and to be comfortable and learn that they can handle something that maybe they've never had to handle before in their careers. And while I'm at it, I'll just put in a plug. You can get a copy of the 4Rs and a little bit of more verbiage around what they mean and how they work. You can download that at leadership-engineering.com/cantata.
That's excellent. And really appreciate the insight today, Brad. As always, we love to hear from our listeners. If you have any follow-up questions for myself or Brad, please reach out to us at podcast@cantata.com. Thanks so much, Brad.
Thank you. It's been great being on, and look forward to talking with you some more.
If you enjoyed this podcast, let us know by giving the show a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform and leaving a comment. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, you can do so anywhere you get podcasts, on any podcast app. And to learn more about the power of Cantata's purpose-built technology, go to cantata.com. Thanks again for listening.